invading the beaches of Greenwich, Connecticut. Imagine if one day the voters of Arizona declared that, from now on, only the legal residents of the state of Arizona would be allowed to visit the Grand Canyon. Or what if Brooklyn mandated that only Brooklynites could go to Coney Island? What would happen if the state of Mississippi said that no boat other than those owned by the citizens of Mississippi could use the Mississippi River? The people living in the rest of the country wouldn't put up with it. As Americans, we have this belief that huge tracts of national parks, forests, and coastlines are the property of all the people, and no private individual can own them. It appears, though, that some communities would prefer to keep some of these natural wonders all to themselves. Throughout the nation, a number of wealthy white towns have instituted measures to keep other people out of their neighborhoods. Take Greenwich, Connecticut. One of the richest communities in America, according to the New York Times, the average selling price of a home there is $1.1 million. Greenwich is the toniest of all the New York City suburbs. The boyhood home of former President George Bush, Greenwich is nearly all white, and some of America's richest families and CEOs live there. When you've got it this good, you tend to want to keep it. Too bad that this country is built on the principle of liberty and justice for all. That really gets in the way of having a good time. One day in 1995, a young man from nearby Stamford, Connecticut, Brendan Layden, was jogging along the beaches of Long Island Sound when he crossed the town line of Greenwich. Jogging onto the beach at Greenwich Point, he was stopped by a guard and asked to show his residence beach card. Brendan asked, "What's that?" The guard told him that only legal residents of Greenwich could use the beach, and they had to have a residence card to prove it. Layden wanted to know if this was a private beach. "No, this is a public beach, but just for the public of Greenwich." Yes, it was operated with tax dollars, but only from the taxes of Greenwich. Therefore, it was just for the well-heeled people of Greenwich. Well, much to Greenwich's bad luck, Brendan Layden also happened to be a third-year law student at Rutgers University. He filed suit against Greenwich, and the town was forced to give him a temporary beach pass, allowing him to use the beach until the case went to trial and a judge decided if the all-white, all-rich beaches of Greenwich should be open to all Americans. We were short a story for an upcoming episode of TV Nation, so when the morning's paper arrived with the news of Brendan Layden's suit, we instantly knew that TV Nation had to pay a visit to Greenwich, Connecticut. The problem was, we only had 4 days to prep, produce, and shoot the piece. We would then only have 5 days to edit it. The entire process for a typical TV Nation story usually took about 3 to 5 weeks. But the possibility of giving the good people of Greenwich a dose of reality was too great an opportunity to let slip by. It was decided that we would liberate the beaches of Connecticut. We would gather a group of people from the streets of New York City, hire a bus, and head north for a day of fun in the sun. We also felt that this would be a perfect job for our occasional guest correspondent, Janine Garofalo. She enthusiastically agreed to do it. As background for the piece, we sent a crew ahead to Greenwich a day early to interview the townsfolk about the city ordinance. Everyone we spoke to supported the beach ban. They talked of hordes of people coming from everywhere if their beaches were open. "Where would we put everyone?" they'd say. One man reassured us that the rich are very kind to minorities. "Oh, look how many we hire to clean our homes," he said. Within 72 hours, our producers had arranged the largest beach invasion since Normandy. Helicopters, planes, boats, buses, the works. Special concern was given to safety. Off-duty police divers from New York City were hired to be there to make sure no one drowned. The entire staff stopped working on the stories they were assigned and pitched in. Then the shoe dropped. Our studio, Columbia TriStar, told us that we could not do the story because it would involve breaking the law. "It's not the law," we told the studio's lawyer. "It's the law of Greenwich, Connecticut." We thought it out and found a way to satisfy Columbia TriStar. Public trust doctrine says that the federal government actually owns the water, if not the sand, along any coast. So, as long as we stayed below the high tide mark on the beach, we were not technically on Greenwich property. Satisfied with this liberal interpretation of the law, the studio said, "Okay," and we were off. On a sunny Saturday morning, we gathered our Rainbow Beach Coalition together and headed out of the city on our chartered bus. Because TV Nation was a union show, everyone had to be a member of the Extras Union. We had handed out the instructions for the day, and many of the individuals became alarmed and then chose not to go. The instructions read, in part, "If the police decide to give you a ticket, please immediately bring your ticket to the producer. While it is extremely unlikely that the police will threaten any sort of arrest, please obey all police officers in this situation." Well, you can understand why some people wouldn't want to stick with the shoot, especially if they were of a certain skin persuasion. A night in the Greenwich jail is not a perk of being on television. But a good dozen of the extras decided to take the risk, and we decided to start off by attempting to drive to and park at the beach. The bus turned off the highway and onto the road leading to the water. At the guard booth, we were stopped and asked to show our residence permit. Of course, all we had was our American citizenship, so the guard ordered the bus to turn around and sent us away. There was a moan of disappointment all around, but Janine kept the TV Nation crowd going with "Beach Party! Beach Party!" and told everyone that there was more than one way to get on that forbidden sand. The bus headed off to a nearby marina. There, everyone boarded a large boat with a half dozen smaller boats attached to it. With their beach balls, lawn chairs, and sunscreen lotion, the TV Nation Armada, complete with helicopters overhead, pulled out of port and raced toward Greenwich. Back at the beach, the happy people of Greenwich were enjoying the beautiful day when they looked up from their slumber and all of a sudden, in what seemed like a scene out of Apocalypse Now, they saw the people coming toward them at 75 knots. It was a glorious sight. Janine stood at the helm of the boat, proudly holding the TV Nation flag, looking like George Washington crossing the Delaware. It appeared as if we were going to make it all the way to shore until, out of the south, came a police boat at top speed. We tried to outrun them, but it was no use. They intercepted the boat and demanded to know what we were doing. We told them the truth, and then they threatened us with arrest. At that point, a Coast Guard boat appeared upon the scene, and we knew that the situation was now serious. Though we were used to local police putting a halt to our activities, this was the first time on TV Nation that a branch of the armed forces was called in. The Coast Guard officer was very aggressive in threatening action against us and demanded to come on board. As she was stepping onto our boat, she slipped and fell in the water. She was so embarrassed, and we were so sure we were going to feel the heat of her wrath. Instead, we fished her out of the ocean. She was humanized by the experience, actually, and toned down her threats considerably. She inspected the boat and found that it was in perfect condition and operating legally. The police said we could not take even our smaller boats in any closer. After a short tactical discussion, we asked, "Well, would it be okay if we swam to shore?" The police said that we were free to swim in the water, but we couldn't set foot on the Greenwich beach. So, inspired in the moment and determined to complete the quest, Janine and the others leapt overboard and swam the half mile to shore. By the time they arrived, the residents of Greenwich were outraged. They booed and screamed and shouted at Janine, "Go back to where you came from! If you like it so much here, why don't you buy a house and own property, and then you can use the beach?" one man yelled at her. "Well, with such a friendly attitude like that, I can't wait to move here," Janine replied. The beachgoers begged the police to have us arrested. But our producer, having worked out the legalities in advance, she and the crew had press permits to be on the beach, escorted Janine and the others along the high tide mark to the end of the beach and then off the lot where the bus was parked. The town threatened us with all kinds of legal action, including filing a complaint with the FAA over the use of our chopper, but nothing became of it because we had stayed within the law.